good if it goes.
Welcome to episode 5 of The Good Podcast. As you can see me, I'm your host, Daquan Young. On the line, we have Mike, Shane, well, we had Mike, Kevin, and Ace.
Yo!
Guys, week 2 and week 3, or week 2 in the NFL, what are you guys' thoughts?
Oh, man, where do I begin? What a week. First of all, Tom Brady went off on the Bills' defense. 400 yards.
Yeah, that was one of the craziest weeks of the NFL that I can honestly ever remember seeing. I mean, everybody's survivor pools just got completely killed because all, you know, these big favorites went down. You got New Orleans losing at home to Tampa, Baltimore losing on the road to Oakland, Miami lost to Jacksonville, the Rams lost to the Redskins. It was just the Colts losing at home to the Jets. It was just a complete bloodbath. All these underdogs won, and it was just insanity.
But did anybody really think the Saints were going to be that good?
Yeah. No, but I thought they were good enough to. Yeah, I thought they were good enough to beat what we thought was an awful Tampa team at home.
Well, it is an awful Tampa team, but you know it's not possible for the Saints to lay an egg.
You can't even be proud that your team won against a division rival. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I mean
you failed to give Jameis Winston any credit whatsoever. Ooh, whoop-de-doo, it's New Orleans. Dude, he won his first pro game, and he looked really good doing it. Like, what do you want from the guy?
Let's get into that. Schwab, why are you so anti-we won right now? We talked about this on the timeline. I don't understand how – the Lions are 0-2. I would take one of those shitty-ass wins from the Saints – or the Bucks any day.
Okay, that's a fair point.
Please explain why you're unsatisfied with being 1-1 right now.
No, it's a fair point about you wanting to take one of the wins. It's not a very good New Orleans team, and they didn't really close it out like they should have. The Saints were handing them that game, and they had a shot to win it at the end.
They're a young team.
And a win's a win, so that's nice. Yeah,
yeah, man. There's definitely a step in the right direction. The freaking Bucks would be a Super Bowl contender right now. They're still developing their team right now.
If they hadn't gotten completely run out of their own building week one against the second worst team in the league last year, I would have looked at this as, yeah, okay, 1-1. You got a division win. I wasn't a big fan of Lovey celebrating like they won the Super Bowl after the game.
They won their first game against a division rival. Of course they're going to celebrate.
This is the NFL. When you're
maybe because he's playing his fucking job, too. Lovey Smith might have just saved himself another fucking year of playing, being a fucking coach.
What the fuck? Who just farted?
That was probably Schwab.
But I think Lovey was celebrating so hard because he might have just saved himself a fucking job for another year. So take that into consideration. But getting the fucking division win. And
he just fired. You just fired your last coach after 2 years. You're going to fire Lovey after two? You can't keep doing that forever.
Well, it's the NFL. If you don't win, you're fired. Unless you're Marvin Lewis.
Basically.
That's another subject that we should touch base on eventually.
And once again, Cincinnati. You know, they look pretty good through two regular season games. I mean, I think on our first podcast, we all picked Pittsburgh to win that division. And, you know, we seem to forget, you know, we just remember Cincinnati by their playoff failures. But that's a team that's constantly in the playoffs. And they, you know, they win regular season games and they find ways to get in. And it's you can't write them out. In the regular season, at least.
I think it's the Dalton effect, how he's an inconsistent quarterback, that everybody – what Cincinnati team is going to show up? Who's going to be throwing to A.J. Green today? I think that's the consistent inconsistency with the Bengals and picking them as a favorite in any game.
Well, we got a big game. We got a big game this week.
I think it's Andy Dalton more so than any other thing. Like, Andy Dalton's, like, inconsistent. Like, he's – has a noodle arm. Like, I don't know what to think. Like, each week, like, hell, they could lose. Who do they face this week?
Cincinnati's at Baltimore.
Yeah, hell, they could lose that game.
It's an interesting division matchup. Who you got in that, Shane?
I like Baltimore in that game. I think that's the thing about Cincinnati. Once, you know, they look good in two games, and then once you start to, you know, really put stock in them, then you have to remind yourself, do I trust Andy Dalton to go win on the road in a divisional game? And I don't. I think Baltimore is going to win, even though Baltimore, they were absolutely atrocious. And I believe it was me who sat on this podcast last week and gave out Baltimore as his best bet. And I could tell from pretty much early in the second quarter that game was going to be a sweat till the end. Their defense was was horrendous. And I mean, you know, you could point and just say, well, you know, they lost Terrell Suggs, but you know, that's one guy. And I mean, they're Derek Carr shredded them. I mean, I watched that whole entire game. Derek Carr shredded that defense. And I
thought Derek Carr wasn't getting the credit that he deserved coming into the draft too. I thought that he was at least better than Menzel, but whatever.
And Baltimore's offense was really Steve Smith, and that's it. And Flacco missed a throw. It was a tie game late in the fourth, and they had like third and goal on like the 10 or something. And Steve Smith ran out right, and Flacco missed the throw, which would have been a walk-in touchdown. And you know, you have to wonder, Baltimore goes up 7 there. Does Oakland come down and tie the game? It's a different scenario. Once Tucker makes the field goal, Oakland's only down 3. Then Carr drives them down. They get the game-winning touchdown. I mean, you got to put that on Flacco as much as anybody else.
See, that's another thing about Joe Flacco, too. Like, just like Andy Dalton, one week he looks like the second coming of Joe Montana. The next week he looks like Ryan Leaf.
Well, it's part of the reason, too, is what we've seen Flacco do in the playoffs on the road. He's a clutch quarterback. I mean, we saw what he did. You know, they had New England on the ropes last year. I thought they were going to win. Watching that whole game, I thought they were going to win. They had them the whole game. And then he did throw a big pick, and then, you know, Brady finished him. But, you know, I'm not counting Baltimore out yet. I still think that they will. They're one of the 0-2 teams that I believe in that can still, you know, can still get back in this and be in
the just read the stat saying that since 1990, there's only been one 0-2 team that has come back and made the playoffs. That's pretty surprising.
Speaking of 0-2 teams, I'm gonna admit that the Vikings, the Lions.
Time to eat some crow.
Man, they look fucking bad. Like, I mean, watching the game, I had to watch it on the stream. Stafford, the defense was, every phase was bad. AP fumbled 3 times on the goal line. We didn't recover one. That's one problem. Stafford, downfield, he didn't take a shot downfield, which is really surprising for him. We have no run game still. Stafford got beat the hell on. I mean, like, bruised, like, the fact that his ribs are still intact is really surprising to me.
Is he going to play this week? Because yeah, I've heard conflict.
They said that he, I saw Tim Twentyman talking about it. They said that he was unsure about practicing today or Sunday, but the report's saying it's only bruised ribs. But, I mean, I really couldn't tell you.
I mean, you would have to think that. I mean, that's an enormous game for Detroit. I mean, you got the Sunday night game at home against Denver. You can't fall to 0-3.
No.
And I would, you know, I don't know how severe the injury is, but, you know, if it's close, you would have to think that he gives it a go and plays. I mean, that's a huge game.
But how about my man, Teddy Bridgewater, man? He looked really good.
Yes, he did. Everything that you were saying as far as leading up to him in the draft. I mean, he was poised. He took command. He didn't make any mistakes.
He was the guy I really wanted in the draft last year.
And you fucking wanted Alabama's quarterback, you dumb fuck.
Yeah, you wanted A.J. McCarron, you fat fuck, because of what he did, because he won some games as a quarterback of Alabama.
We gotta keep a running tally of how many fat fucks or terrible fucks or virgin fucks we call Schwab today.
Well, until he makes an effort to lose weight, he's gonna be considered, he's gonna be called fat fuck. I mean, he says he doesn't even
get some pussy, the fuck.
Do you guys want him to lose weight, or do you want him to have sex?
Oh, man.
Mike, we can't. Mike, just go. I don't know what you got. Go next to your neighbor's door and steal the Wi-Fi. You're stealing the Wi-Fi from too far away.
Fuck you, man.
Okay. Got it. Shane, do you want – I know this is getting off topic here. Do you want Schwab to lose weight first or lose his virginity first? Because I feel like you can't have one without the other.
Well, I would say that those go hand in hand. I mean, he's not going to get laid until he loses weight. So I, you know, if I was him, I would, you know, try and lose some weight and then, you know, try and get laid. Because the only way, you know, the only chance he has getting laid now is just like some, you know, obese gothic chick or like fucking.
Swap. I'm going to give you, for some reason, I'm still giving you the benefit of the doubt. How many lady friends do you have? Do you know what Netflix and chill is, Schwab? Have you ever had one of those nights?
I'm aware of the concept. I have not, though.
No, he'd rather have a CFL and jerk-off night.
Schwab, hold on. Please explain to the listeners what Netflix and chill is.
What do you mean? Like,
you're aware of the concept. Explain in your words what Netflix and chill is.
You get together at someone's house and watch Netflix.
And that's it?
I thought so. I'm guessing we have problems here.
Oh my god, how do you not even
know? Oh my god. Okay. So Schwab, the concept behind Netflix and chill is to invite a woman over to watch a movie on Netflix, knowing that it would lead to what we call sexual intercourse. So you find a lady friend.
I figured it was, you know, invite a woman. I legitimately thought it was watch Netflix.
No.
Why would you want to? Oh my god. I mean, it's funny, but it's funny.
You need
funny,
a better social
not.
Like that.
Oh my god, this is the funniest thing ever.
This is what happens when you sit home and watch CFL on Friday night, you fat fuck.
Do we really gotta talk about it?
All right, let's get back. This is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I actually have. I ask people outside of Twitter to listen to this, and they got to hear this fucking idiot. I mean, seriously, like I have like a few friends that don't have Twitter that I send. And, hey, check this out. I have my dad listening to it. All these people and
oh, we gotta get Jay Hawk in here.
Dad probably makes fun of Schwab so bad.
God. I mean, seriously, like, that's. All right, let's get back to the script here because I don't even know what just happened.
Okay, all right. What are you guys looking forward to in week three? Ace, what are you looking forward to in week three?
I'm definitely not looking forward to the Jets D-line killing my Eagles offense because that's just atrocious right now.
And DeMarco's questionable for Sunday. It's pretty much going to be a slaughter out there.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, I still think the NFC East is wide open, especially with Romo's injury and freaking Dez Bryant's injury. I think the Giants have a really good chance to come back. Because even in those games, they didn't look that bad.
You cannot write anybody off in the NFC East. I mean, seriously.
This is all setting up for the Redskins to back their way into the playoffs, isn't it?
No, shut up.
It's not crazy to say that. I mean, there's some talent on that team. They got a really nice front seven. This run, if they got two Matt Jones.
I do not have confidence in Jay Gruden as a coach.
I don't.
That's why I said back in. I mean, this is not a team that should, you know, win more than.
It's conceivable that 9-7 could easily win this division, just like just like you look at the AFC South, you can win that division at 8-8. That's what that Indianapolis is still going to win that division. I guarantee you the second place team in the AFC South will be under 500.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that division and the NFC East are two divisions that 9-7 will get it done.
Hey, so I got a question.
Throw the NFC South in there too.
Mike, sure. Mike, you got something to say?
Yeah, hey, so I got a question for you. Now that Dez White is out, is Jordan Matthews the best receiver in the NFC East?
Dez Bryant.
I said that Dez Bryant is out.
You talking about Dez White?
No, Atkins is the best receiver in the freaking NFC East with Dez Bryant out.
Easily. Who is? Beckham.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely Beckham. Jordan Matthews looked pretty bad through two games, and that's kind of a surprise. I really came into the year thinking he was going to go off. I mean,
I'm really high up on him. I really like I like his game. I think when they get it together over there, he's going to be a really good receiver. I think he's going to be a
star. Oh, I agree too. I think Jordan Matthews, he's showing that he has the capability of being a future top level receiver, but like he's been having a bad freaking start. He's had a lot of drops.
Okay, what did you think about the play calling and everything in the Dallas game?
Oh man, I don't even know what to think. I think the reason why Chip Kelly is passing a lot more is because freaking the run game has just like been atrocious because of the offensive line, especially in the guard position. Releasing Evan Mathis is just completely stupid. I don't know why we did that. I had no problem with every other move, but releasing him was the main fucking move I had the biggest problem with.
Did you guys see Osi Umenyiora's tweet?
No.
Yeah, I did.
He said Chip Kelly's learning the hard way that this is a players' league. Your system only gets you so far.
Ooh.
And it is a fair point. Like Chip Kelly, you know, it was said many times before the season that either he is going to turn out to be the genius that he so clearly thinks he is, or this is just going to go real, real bad.
Do you think he gets fired?
So far, it's going really bad.
Do I what?
Do you think he gets fired at the end of the year?
I'm going to say no because I still believe. I still believe that the Eagles, that they're going to turn this around.
All signs point to no, man.
I understand that. But, I mean, we still need to, you know, sit back and realize that it is two games. I mean, do we have to remind you what happened in New England last year on that Monday night game at Kansas City when they got absolutely destroyed and it went from Tom Brady is done as a quarterback.
Two.
Yeah.
Did they start 0-2? I
don't remember exactly what the record was. I think that loss made them, I believe it was 2-2. Then it was the on to Cincinnati, and everybody, then they went to Cincinnati I don't remember if it was on the road or at home, to be honest, but they played Cincinnati on Sunday Night Football that following week, and they destroyed them.
But, I mean, that's Tom Brady, that's Bill Belichick, that's the Eagles aren't – they have a nice team, but they're not – I don't think they're Super Bowl.
I understand, but my point is still is you can't sit here and – you know, I was big on last week saying, you know, the week one overreactions are hilarious. Well, you know, week two you learn a little more, but you still can't determine what a team is going to be after two games.
I think week two was even worse for overreactions, man. I seen some of the dumbest shit. People calling Andrew Luck a bust and all this nonsense.
Well, you know what? Yeah, that's stupid, but I am buying that there are some serious problems in Indianapolis, especially after what Pagano said after the game.
Yeah.
You guys heard what Pagano said? They asked about his offensive line, and he said it's been the same way for 3 years. That's a direct shot at the GM and the owner.
Prentice called the Colts O-line out early on, and I mean, you know me, I'm a big Andrew Luck fan, and I'm really disappointed in this shit right now because I just feel like he can't get it done right now if that fucking team is not together, and I feel like that was a Super Bowl bound team,
and I think I'm legit.
But guys.
Because the front seven of the Bills and the front seven of the Jets are in the top five, I think.
I agree. And then you also, like I brought up earlier, look at that division. If you're picking that division right now, you cannot make a case for any team that beats out Indy.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
Not Houston, not Tennessee, not Jacksonville. Now, I get it. Jacksonville's better than they were. Tennessee's going to be a little better than they were. Houston looks like a mess. There is that. That's the worst division in football by far. And there's Indianapolis is going to win that division. I don't care if they're 8-8 or they finish 10-6. They're winning that division. So that's a team. I mean, if I had to out of all the 0-2 teams, who are you guys most confident that turns it around and looks like they were supposed to and still ends up either winning their division or, you know,
this is being pretty a wild much card. A setup Besides, for us.
You know, I'm just going to Seattle now that they got Chancellor back.
I told you, man, the glorified running back.
I'm going to say Colts by default, though I think Seattle's going to end up being a better team. But they got actual competition in that division.
Exactly. That's what I agree with. And I'm still – I don't know why after they burned me for like $1 million this weekend. I still believe in Baltimore. I still think they get it done. I'm not – I told you guys before the season about Seattle. I said I was – and obviously I won't be surprised if they turn around, go 10-6 and get a wild card because Arizona's winning that division as long as Carson Palmer stays healthy. But I believe in that Super Bowl curse. And, you know, the Jimmy Graham, we talked about, I think it was Mike said his favorite move of the offseason was Jimmy Graham going to Seattle. And it was hard to argue with that.
He's not upset. Or he's not happy out there.
He's livid. And I don't blame him. I mean, they're not even using him against Green Bay, who, and I can tell you, Green Bay has no clue how to cover a tight end. They have no clue. They never have. And they split him out one-on-one multiple times. And Wilson didn't even look his direction.
My team would be Seattle also. I think they're going to get it together. But like you said, they do have a lot of competition over there. Because Arizona looked pretty damn good last week. Obviously, I watched the whole game last week. The Bears aren't the best indicator of how good a team is. But, I mean, shit, is Larry Fitzgerald back? I mean, he never went nowhere. But they look really good over there.
Arizona, I want to be the first one to say I apologize to Carson Palmer. Because I literally was wondering why he had a job still in the NFL. But it's time for me to eat crow. You've looked really good in the last two games. Keep it up, buddy.
But see, Ace, to your point, to Ace's point, though, about what he brought out, Andrew Luck going against those two great defenses, I mean, the same could be said for Carson Palmer. He went up against New Orleans at home and on the road against Chicago, two of the worst secondaries in the league. So, you know, we still have to give this stuff a lot more time. I mean, we don't know, you know, once the schedules get tougher, then we'll see what happens. And Carson Palmer hasn't shown that he can play 16 games.
All right. So, go ahead. Finish up.
So until he does, then I still need to see it.
And with that being said, Shane, hit us with your best bets of the week.
Well, I didn't want to spoil it when you guys were talking about this game, and this is going to surprise a lot of people. And also, I'm 2-2 so far on the Good If It Goes podcast on my best bets of the week. But this one, I actually feel pretty good about. I am taking the Philadelphia Eagles +2.5 and +115 on the money line. They are going to go to New York this weekend. They are going to win that game. Everybody in the world thinks the Jets are so good now, and everybody in the world thinks Philadelphia is trash. Well, you know what? That line's only 2.5. And you would think everybody's going to go ahead and bet the Jets. Well, not me. I'm betting Philadelphia. They're going to turn around, and that starts this week. The Jets coming off a Monday night game, come home. And they're going to be tested. I don't care if DeMarco Murray plays or not. You plug in, you know what? They need to utilize Darren Sproles more. They had two big screen passes to Sproles in this past game that were called back for holds. If they can get that right, gives Bradford, all he needs is a couple of first downs to gain confidence. They're going to do it. And they're going to New York this weekend. They're winning that game 34-23.
There you have it, folks. The best bets of the week. Shane, explain to us what the money line is.
Okay, when you're betting a spread, see, what I just did was I gave out the Eagles +2.5, so you're getting 2.5 points. So if the Jets win by two, you win your bet. And the money line is the price you pay for a team to win the game straight up. So like I just said, the Eagles are +115. So for every $100 you bet, you'll win 115. So if you bet 200, you win 230.
Okay.
And so on. So the money line just means winning the game straight up. No points.
Okay. All right. There you have it. Now, guys, I tasked you all with the Be a GM task. We're gonna do a 5-player draft. It's gonna be who you think is the best player for your team. If you're a GM going into a fantasy draft or any type of draft, 5 guys that will make an impact. Schwab, we're gonna start with you.
Hold on, Schwab. Quick question is, now is this for like a 1 year, or if you're starting a team today for now in the future?
For now in the future.
Okay. Go ahead, fat fuck.
Thanks. No, that's exactly the way I looked at it. So first thing I did, anyone over 30, you're out. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the league right now, but he's 31. He's on the wrong side of 30. He's out here. You need a QB. I'm going to take a risk here. Teddy Bridgewater. You need someone to protect him. I'm going to go with Jared Valdir, the left tackle from Arizona. Need someone for him to throw to. I'm going to take Gronkowski. J.J. Watt, obviously, on defense seems like a real good pick. And then I struggled with this one between Levante David and Luke Kuechly. I'm going to go with David.
Sounds like a pretty solid squad. Guys, what do you think of Schwab's draft?
Well, first of all, and I'm a fan of Teddy Bridgewater, but this dumb fat fuck really took Teddy Bridgewater over Andrew Luck.
That's why I said it's a risk.
Risk isn't even the word. I mean, like I said, I like Bridgewater, but I don't know how you can go Bridgewater over Luck. That's just insane to me.
Ace, what do you think?
Actually, you know, you're such a fat prisoner of the moment that you probably saw Monday night's game and think that Andrew Luck sucks now.
Oh,
no, I don't. I think he's a very good player. Turns the ball over a bit too much for my liking.
That's fair.
At least completion percentage isn't as high as I would like. And I'm
because he throws the ball like 600 times a year.
Right. And I'm looking at this, you know, 10 years down the line, too. I really think highly of Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay. I mean, all right.
Ace, what do you think? What do you think of Schwab's draft?
It's interesting. I'm not going to bash it too much. But
too much.
Yeah, that's different.
Key emphasis on too much.
It's different. I kind of like it.
Holy shit. Mike, what do you think about Schwab's draft?
I don't like the quarterback pick. And other than that, I would have took Kuechly. I'm talking about him a little bit when it gets to mine. But yeah, quarterback pick, that shit was, you said it was a risk. I felt like you were waiting on reaction because you kind of paused after you said it. So, yeah, I don't really agree with that. I ain't too confident in Bridgewater like that. Everybody else was all right.
I was trying to decide on my left tackle. It was either going to be Valdir or Tyron Smith. And that was kind of a tough one, too. I mean, Valdir is already 28. And I like Tyron Smith a lot, but I really like what I've seen from Jared Valdir in Arizona.
The obligatory lineman name drop in the podcast from Schwab. What do you guys think?
Somebody's got to keep the quarterback upright. Well, I mean,
you're right.
You know.
What do you guys think of him drafting a left tackle? Is that smart?
Well, his last point's absolutely true. I mean, Andrew Luck has a horrible offensive line, and you know that showed these last 2 weeks against really good front sevens. And you know the only quarterbacks that have, well, Rodgers in the past has had at times iffy at best offensive lines, and you know he's so good that he's able to get away with it, but most quarterbacks can't.
Yeah,
Cam Newton can.
Yeah, yes. We gotta give him some respect too.
Let me draft next.
Go ahead.
All right, Ace, take it away. You're fine.
Speaking of Cam Newton, he's actually my quarterback. I'm drafting him. The reason why, the guy is just a winner. He's always has been a winner since college. Huge fan of him since Auburn. And I really think I can do a lot with him in my offense.
What offense are you running?
Basically similar to a Chip Kelly offense.
So spread.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give him somebody to throw to, and I'm going to go with somebody who I think is still really underrated, AJ Green.
I don't think he's underrated at all. I think it's pretty unanimous that AJ Green is probably second best receiver in the league.
I don't know. On my timeline, I have people that say he's not even top five.
I'll take Julio Jones over AJ Green any day of the week.
Yeah, see, I don't take and Julio Jones over AJ Green. I can't.
I will take Andy O'Brown over AJ Green.
You guys are. This is what we talked about 30 minutes ago. The Andy Dalton factor. Don't let Andy Dalton's inadequacy affect AJ Green.
AJ Green.
AJ Green. But I'm saying, if I had to choose between the two, give me Julio Jones.
I'm taking AJ Green, but Antonio Brown over both of them.
So wait, we got three. That's an interesting question, real quick. So me and Mike both said Julio, and you three said AJ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's let Ace get back to his draft. Ace, you're taking Cam, and you're taking AJ.
And then on defense, I'm going with JJ Watt at defensive end, Bobby Wagner at linebacker, and then. In the DB, I'm going to go with the king, Darrelle Revis.
Okay. So you're shutting down the side of the field. Shane, what do you think of Ace's draft?
Solid. I mean, Wagner's a monster, too, and that was an interesting name to throw out there. And obviously, you know, J.J. Watt is there was actually a Vine. Did you guys see the Vine? There was some – I forgot who the lineman was. Blew Watt the fuck up the other day.
Oh, yes. I saw that.
Oh, my God.
Shut up, J.J. Watt.
Watt up.
That was pretty wild.
All right, let's get Shane.
I don't get to weigh in?
Huh? Yeah, I mean, you were saying.
No, I mean, I liked Cam Newton a lot, too. He was the third guy I was debating between at quarterback. Darrelle Revis is already 30 this year, so that was kind of off-putting to me on him.
I'm
going to
draft him as my leader.
No, I mean, that's a good way to pick, and it was really hard for me to not pick Revis. But again, you know, I'm just thinking 10 years down the line. And Bobby Wagner I thought was a real nice pick, too.
All right. Now, can we get to Shane's draft?
All right, well, I'm obviously a little biased here, but – my quarterback's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he's 31, but I feel like he still has at least another 5 years of the Aaron Rodgers that we're witnessing now and we've witnessed, you know, the last few years. I don't think that he's shown zero signs of slowing down. And like I said, I give him another 5-6 years to play at a top level. And Brady's, 38 right now? And, you know, he's still at playing at his best. And I don't see any reason why Rodgers won't be the same. So I'm picking Rodgers, my quarterback. My receiver is Antonio Brown. I mean, this guy, what I like about Brown so much is he can beat you in every single way that a receiver can. He can hit you deep. He'll catch the ball at the line. He'll go across the middle. He'll do everything. I can't think of there isn't a receiver in football I'm taking over Antonio Brown. And how about, I can't believe nobody picked him. I mean, arguably the top two or three most dominant player in football, Rob Gronkowski.
I picked him.
Yeah, Schwab.
I'm sorry. When Schwab talks, I fall asleep sometimes. I'm sorry.
Don't bury the talent, man.
I apologize, Schwab. I'm going, Richard Sherman to me is, you know, you could argue him or Revis is the top corner. That's fine. But Sherman's younger, and he's got a lot of years left of top football. Somebody take Kuechly.
Schwab took Kuechly too.
Fuck.
I mentioned him, but took Levante David instead. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going Kuechly then. So I got Kuechly. I got Rodgers. I got Antonio Brown. Richard Sherman, and nobody's picked a running back.
You already picked Gronkowski.
I thought I couldn't pick him because Mike did, or one of you guys did.
No, I said that if there's overlap. Just to see how important some of these players are to the league.
Then it's Gronk. I mean,
show me
a defense that can stop Aaron Rodgers, Rob Gronkowski, and Antonio Brown.
So you were gonna pick a six as a rotation. Who were you gonna pick at running back?
I really, really like Jeremy Hill. And, you know, he had a awful game on Sunday. He fumbled early twice. He lost one, and he was able to recover one. And then that moron, Marvin Lewis, who has no business coaching in the NFL, by the way, he benched him. And I'm a big Jeremy Hill fan. He gets all the work at the goal line. He's fast. He can catch passes. And he's, you know, only in his second year in the league. So – since nobody else picked a running back, and I realize that the shelf life on them these days is low, but give me Jeremy Hill. I think he's going to be around for a while at a high level.
Okay. Now, one thing I want to ask, are you afraid behind whatever lineman you would get in this imaginary draft of Aaron Rodgers' durability? Because I think the last couple of years, he's gone down for a significant amount of time with injuries.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, there's only a handful of, you know, team offensive lines in the NFL that are really good. If you look, you have to find there's more bad ones or average ones than ones. So, and the way Rodgers plays, how he can, you know, how he rolls, he can pass in the pocket, he moves out of the pocket, and he's, for the most part, been able to avoid the big hit. I need a at least decent offensive line there.
Okay.
You mentioned how Brady's 38 and you think Rodgers can still be at his peak then too. Tom Brady doesn't rely on his legs as much as Aaron Rodgers does.
That's true, but I mean, that can be a disadvantage too. You know, Brady doesn't move very well at all. So, you know, he's needed a top offensive line, which they pretty much had. And,
oh, absolutely. You know, Belichick's done a great job of delivering that.
And
you know,
Ted
we were
Thompson,
talking about – go ahead.
Ted Thompson's done a good job. Green Bay's offensive line right now is probably the best it's been in years.
Yeah, it's significantly better than it was a few years ago.
It is, and that's without –
Jared
that's
Allen
without,
is living in the backfield.
And that's without Bilal.
Our offensive line was very subpar.
It was.
No, and we were talking earlier about how, you know, talent wins in the NFL, but not so much – schemes. Is there anyone besides Belichick where it's the scheme that's winning? I mean, Harbaugh to an extent in San Francisco, but anyone else?
I mean, that's a good question. I can't
think of any scheme off the top.
I can't think off the top of my head. Like, remember a few years ago it was Dick LeBeau's Steelers defense.
Yeah.
And that,
but
you know,
defense is a whole different animal.
So you're talking offenses only.
Offense only.
Would you argue Peyton before Kubiak got there?
Probably, because Kubiak doesn't want him audibling, and which I don't understand how
one bit
how that just makes no sense. Peyton Manning, that's one of his biggest strengths.
And
he's been hit,
probably the greatest football mind.
Called line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he's probably the greatest football mind ever in the history of the NFL, and Gary Kubiak is fucking crippling him.
Now, I know Kubiak's a buddy of Elway's, but I can't believe that Elway – that this kind of thing wouldn't be discussed before they hired.
Yes.
Unless they're just – Elway has basically decided, look, after, this is it. This is Manning's last year, then we're moving on.
Yeah.
Just like Ted Thompson did with Brett Favre. I do feel strong and obviously have no inside information, but this is it for Peyton Manning. This is last year.
Yeah, I agree.
If it's not his last, he's maybe got one or two average at best year somewhere else. But as far as Denver, as far as, you know, Denver, where they've got a really good team there and the window's still pretty much open as far as, you know, making deep runs in the playoffs, it might be time to move on there if you don't know what Peyton's going to be giving you next year or 2 years from now.
I think you have to move on. If this season ends similarly to like the last year where he was absolutely atrocious against the Colts, then this has got to be it.
Okay. And Mike, round us out. Draft your team right now.
All right. Quarterback, I'm going with Andrew Luck. feel like you got that guy. You got him for a career until he's done. Running back, Le'Veon Bell. Surprisingly, y'all said him. I really like dual game. Can't wait for him to come back, too. I just feel like he can do it all on the field. You got him, and he's healthy. You got a really quality back, and he's young, too. So, at receiver, I'm going to go with a homer pick here. I want to know what y'all think of it. I'm going with Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey, he's a guy, he has great field presence, younger guy. He's made some pretty big catches, which really it's not a lot of big catches to make in Chicago right now. But for what it's worth, last season he has some really good games, and that was being on side of Marshall. So now that he's the number one guy going forward, it's going to be nice to see what he does. So I would take him. Defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with Earl Thomas. Really like Dude's game. A lot of directions I could have went with defense, but I think he's the best free safety in the league, and he brings a lot. He has speed, he has tackling ability, really good in coverage, really good awareness, and he brings a lot to that Seahawks team. I could have easily went with Chancellor or Sherman as well, but I really like Earl Thomas's game. And then I had a couple picks for defense. I'm just going to go with Kuechly still. I wanted J.J. Watt as well. J.J. Watt is a pretty obvious choice, but just to be different, I'm going with Luke Kuechly. I mean, there's not too much this guy can't do. He leads a lot in tackling, and he's really the anchor of that Panthers defense, which has basically been improving every year since he's been there, in my opinion. It might not show up on a stat sheet as much, but I think he does a really, really good job getting them guys together, and he has a lot of good leadership skills as a younger guy on that team. And with him on one side of the ball and Cam on the other side of the ball, that team, I mean, it is what it is in the NFC South, but on my team, Kuechly, I think it'd be a really good pick for me. So those are my five guys.
Why do you think Earl Thomas? I think Revis is a good pick as far as secondary goes. Maybe Sherman. I don't think safety is as important if your front seven isn't good or you don't have a shutdown corner. Why are you taking Earl Thomas?
Well, he can catch the deep ball as well as a lot of passes thrown in the middle of the field. He takes away a lot of options for the quarterback, in my opinion. The little bit of football I did play, I also played safety too, so I'm a little bit biased towards this position. And plus, Sherman had been taken, Revis had been taken, a couple other corners out there I like, but I just really like the impact he makes on the field. And I mean, you look a little bit better when you got so much talent on the field, but, in my opinion, it's a premium position in the NFL, the free safety is, and a lot of deep offensive game plans can get shut down if you got really good guys back there.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm going to critique the Alshon Jeffrey pick right away. well, I do like Alshon, but I need to see him be a dominant number one.
Yeah.
Like a Dez Bryant, or like we've seen Calvin Johnson, or, you know, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, A.J. Green. I've seen Alshon Jeffrey, the talent's there. I've seen him playing on the opposite side of Brandon Marshall in his prime.
And Brandon Marshall's getting doubled and.
Right. Yeah. And I need to see more from Jeffrey. And it's actually going to be interesting to see what the Bears do with him, because his contract's up after this year and he wants to get paid. And, you know, he hasn't played yet. He's got the calf and the hamstring. So it's going to be, and I would have really liked to see Kevin White on the field this year, because you know, then we would have known more about. But I need to see. I think it was Quan that was going back and forth with people on this like a year ago that were saying that Jeffrey was a great number one, and I think Quan, I think you questioned it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I need to see it.
Yeah, that's a fair assumption. Like I said, it was a homer pick. It was to be a little bit different. Obviously, I mean, you got the top tier guy. I'm no way saying that he's one of those guys right now. But I mean, he's made a lot of, I mean, I'm a Bears fan, so obviously I've seen a lot. I mean, even going back to his rookie season, he had a big catch. I think it was against the Giants, I think. Like an 80 yarder, and that's when, McCown was playing quarterback. Who the fuck keep farting? But I mean, he's made some crazy catches, in his short career. So, And I mean, like I said, it's a homer pick. He's a younger guy, you know, so, and you know, we think about going forward, but, yeah, no way am I saying, you know, he's top five. You know, I don't think he's top 10 just yet, but going forward, as far as, you know, a franchise for the next 10 years, I think he'd be a very safe pick. And, I agree, we do need to see more, but this is his year, you know, and.
You know, but see, but here's the interesting thing about him too is he, this is his last year of his contract. So he's obviously, you know, that guy, you know, who wants to go out and have a huge year, you know, put up the stats and get the money. Well, there's two problems. One is he hasn't been able to get on the field yet because of the calf and the hamstring. And the other is that now the uncertainty about Jay Cutler is that you have Jimmy Clausen throwing him the ball. So how good can he look? I mean, what kind of numbers is he going to have at the end of the year?
Yeah, it's a clusterfuck for sure. But I mean, just watching the guy, being a big Bears fan, and I mean, you know, taking it back to
he's got long
when we did draft him in, yeah.
Oh, the guy can play. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of these number twos are number twos for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, look in Detroit. I mean, Golden Tate can't be a number one on any team in the league.
I'm gonna last year when Calvin was out. He was pretty much a great number one. Like, he was the playmaker. He got us in. He kept us in the games. He won games for us. I think Golden Tate, in the right situation, the right scheme, the right system, he could be a great number one. I'm not saying he's just a number two. I would give him the benefit of the doubt.
And so far, the reason with Alshon Jeffrey being a number two receiver is that they've had Brandon Marshall being the number one. So I think you got to give him time.
I said
especially with some of the games.
You said, fuck?
Right. Wait, but then you said these guys that are.
I think the biggest example of this is I remember like years ago. Remember this name, Peerless Price?
Yeah.
He was a second receiver to Eric Moulton in Buffalo, and then he went to Atlanta and he got this big contract, and everybody was hyping him up to be a number one receiver for Michael Vick, and he was a complete bust.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It's kind of dependent upon the system that you go to. You gotta find what works for you. If the quarterback and the coach are sending you deep every play, if they're trying to get you the ball in situations, I mean, every system doesn't work for every receiver, every number two. Like, I think Alshon Jeffrey was Brandon Marshall light with Brandon Marshall beside him. And in the games, you see Marshall's getting double and Alshon's got one-on-one coverage. So, I mean, he looks like a hero. So we got to see if he turns into that receiver that draws a double team and still makes plays, goes downfield, takes the top off the defense, everything like that. But we got to move on here.
Hey, who's your five? Who's your five?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head, I would go with first things first. I'm drafting Calvin Johnson. That's three people out the box, regardless.
You cut out?
I said I'm drafting Calvin Johnson. That's three people out the box. That's you rolling the coverage away from the offense. I'm taking AP.
Jesus, are you taking the all 2007 team?
you say that now, but you're telling me. A roll coverage to Calvin's. Like, the fact that we don't have a running game is really surprising to me because you focus all your attention. There's not one man on this earth that's taking care of Calvin Johnson by himself.
Can we throw David Boston on that squad as well? I mean, is this the wheelchair league in Southside Indianapolis that you're running over there?
I'm taking Sue. I'm taking Watt, and I'm taking Revis.
To the Calvin Johnson point, like, I would draft him if it was 2 years ago. But the thing is, like, I don't know how reliable he is with his injuries. Like, that's the one thing I'm looking at.
I don't think it's an injury thing. I just don't think they know how to effectively move him around and get him the ball anymore. Because he drops a lot of underneath shit. He makes big time catches, but it's like they move him to the slot and they run they give him the middle of the field, he runs slants, he gets 12, and then they'll go away from him, they'll put him on the outside, run him on the out, and they're running like a two shell on him, and it's just like, do something else with him. Like, I mean, you can't run screens with them because you got, if they're physical with them, they're going to be pressed. It's just so many different things in the Lions offense that keep them from getting the ball that it's not him being injured. It's just, I think they've exhausted the ways to get him the ball.
To your point, I remember also when the way Randy Moss was used in Oakland, how horrible he was used.
And I think that it's just, like I said, with the number two receiver thing, it's just the scheme changes. And I don't think the Raiders really were a deep ball team or a take the top off the defense team. So that was part of the problem. But just moving on, we got the draft. If you got any feedback, tweet us at goodifitgoes_ at the end. Now we got – he's not the Schwab anymore. We're just going to call him the professor because he got stomped last week 3-0. Professor Kevin, take it away with the Michigan Minute.
Thanks, Quan. Michigan beat UNLV 28-7 this past Saturday in a game that never really felt as close as the scoreboard would indicate.
That's because Michigan... nobody watched and nobody gave a fuck about that awful game you fell for.
It wasn't a very good game. Michigan had some trouble running up the middle, but that seemed largely a result of UNLV sticking their entire student body in the box as opposed to Oregon State last week putting six or seven guys in there. Of course, you're going to be able to run on that. Save for one drive, the defense was dominant, but Jake Rudock didn't perform very well. Last week after the win over Oregon State, I said that grading out at 0 and a 28-point win was concerning. His performance against UNLV was downright worrisome. Coach Harbaugh said that he was the best quarterback on the team, and not by a small margin. So if this is actually the case and not just Harbaugh giving Rudock a vote of confidence, then that's a problem. Not just this year, but next year too. More on the quarterback situation as well as player grades and a position-by-position breakdown can be found in the game recap up right now at goodifitgoes.com.
I actually have a couple questions.
What year is Rudock? He had sophomore year.
Graduate senior.
Oh, so this is it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Does he have a quarterback waiting in the? Does Harbaugh have somebody that is coming in next year? Has he got a red? What do you have next year at the quarterback position?
You probably go to the quarterback preview, but
I just answered the fucking question. For Christ's sake, come on, man.
It's called plugging the site. But yeah, they got John O'Korn. He transferred in from Houston, so he's ineligible this year. He'll be, I believe, a redshirt junior next year. He had a really good freshman year at Houston, and then Doug Meacham was the offensive coordinator there. He left to take a job somewhere else, and O'Korn fell off a cliff, basically.
I am actually, to be honest, that's good. I'm truly sorry that I asked that stupid fucking question. But my next question that I am serious about. This is dead serious. Michigan's got a big game this Saturday against BYU. Being that you're a supporter of Virgin Dorks and Michigan's your favorite team, who do you root for in this game? Is this hard for you?
No, not at all. Go Blue, beat Mormons. And to your last question, I do want to plug Brandon Peters real quick. He's looked very good.
Oh, for the love of God.
Four-star prospect.
Oh, man, shut up, Schwab. Okay, let's move on to the next subject.
There's the blue chipper that we're hoping can be the next Andrew Luck, and there's plenty of reason.
Oh, God!
There's plenty of reason for those comparisons.
You just called somebody that's never played it down the next Andrew Luck. Oh, my God.
I'm sure we'll get a blog on the next blue chipper, but that's pretty much all we have for to this week's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Follow us on Twitter, goodifitgoes_. You'll see this podcast posted on the Good If It Goes blog, the website. Follow each contributor. I can't call you guys writers anymore because you don't fucking write. But that's it. That's it for this week. Thanks for logging in, guys. Or thanks for listening. Good at the goal. He's on!